broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening out there to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a hearty hello to all of you light workers, you seed sowers, and you truth tellers, and you avatars out there, our listening spirit and Space Force Rangers. A big old shout out to all of the scholars as well, whose work is not for sissies, all you memers and diggers and all of those things. Welcome you here to the broadcast tonight to Empathic Channel. It is Monday, December 11th. My goodness, the month is just, it's just zooming by. Time is flying. It is Monday, December 11th. I'm getting all mixed up, 2023, and we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. That right there is a live broadcast of a time warp, just in case we were wondering what that was. I made that up too. Our goal today, as it has become our habit, is to help folks with an empowering assist on the road to owning your own experience, to grow in this, to learn in your own lessons and not just do things because Leander Grace has suggested it. I am your host and Empathic Channel, Leander Grace. The connections are clear. The pipes are wide open. The smile is on my face. I think you can hear that. The view of it all is spectacular on so many levels, and the we is inclusive, of course, on the conference call. We are blessed to be able to share with you all here today, and we do continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace while the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. It is a very exciting, although it is, it is an awesome time. It is awesome. Everywhere we look, there is something that is awe-striking, isn't it? We just look and it's beyond belief what we seem to be seeing on the world stage unfolding in front of us. I wouldn't say that it is awe-inspiring, but it is an awesome sight. It is a horrible sight. It is a terrible thing. Some of the large things that we're seeing occur on the world stage. We're going to talk about a little bit about those, not very many, but a few things about them. We're going to dig into the scriptures again tonight. We're going to talk again about the gospel of truth. We're going to talk about the Father's heart as well. We're going to talk about what is revealed in this manuscript, what is revealed in the scriptures. And I went to prayer. Some of you guys know, we're going to go ahead and do this at the beginning of the broadcast. I went to prayer with the Father. Some of you guys know I told you I was going to return to prayer and find out what the Father had to say. And I sat with things for a while, some of my own discomfort, the discomfort that was brought to me of what was shown and what was seen. Let me clear my throat. It's often too, because when something comes up, there's usually a lesson in the plan and a plan in the lesson. And that's what I wanted to see. And so the Father reminded me of an instance and showed me I was in prayer, and so I want to share this with you, a vision as it were. I'm going to relay it in this manner because it was like I was in an office that I'd been to many times, and I had gone to a counter. And there was paperwork there for me to fill out, and so I filled out the paperwork. And I came about and I sat down on a bench. And there was someone beside me, and we were having a conversation back and forth. And then someone from the window called to me and asked me a question, and I answered the question. I don't know what the question and answer was. That wasn't the important part. And then the Father asked me, "What do you see?" And I said, I see an office where I'm in an office. And he says, "Now look up and tell me, what do you see?" And I looked up, and what I had not seen in this playing out in front of me and thinking out of things, what I had not noticed, what I had not seen, was this office had been decorated for Christmas and had a Christmas tree. I had not seen it. Had a Christmas tree there. I walked right past it according to this visionary thing. I had to have in order to be finding myself in the place that I was to filling out the paperwork. And so as I sat back, I'm still on the bench, but I sat back and I'm looking at this and I said, Father, what am I seeing? He said, you are seeing what I will not see. I've shown you what I will not look upon during this season. It will be an ignored factor other than the fact that those who are aware and those who are awake and those who have heard the voice and know the steps of obedience, and except for those who have heard the words and heard the instructions and have out of rebellion decided not to move, there will be other things that go on. But other than those exceptions, the ones who moved because they know they need to move and the ones who didn't move because out of rebellion, everything else will be ignored. And this is what the Father said. It is a time where the people's hearts are becoming joyous. We know what's in front of us. And there are things that can be overlooked, just as the scriptures say in time of ignorance. You know, the Father winks. And this is a great time of ignorance. Now, for those of you who are not ignorant, action is expected. But for those who are asleep, those who are ignorant to the fact of what the decorations represent, their joyousness is being directed to the right person through the wrong means. The right thing in the wrong method is still the right thing for the right reasons. And this is the character that's revealed in the scriptures, the character of the heart of the Father. And is that not, according to the gospel of truth, what Jesus came here to do is reveal the knowledge of the Father? Because there was so much forgetfulness, and because there was forgetfulness of the Father, error was allowed to propagate. And depending on the translation of the manuscript of the Gospel of Truth that we read, it's either going to say, don't take error too seriously, which we know is not scriptural. When we read the other translations, we see something as scriptural. It's despise error, yes, but do not despise the ones committing the error. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, if this is the case, then why did the Father have you bring such a large explosion and heat last time? Because now the Father has your attention. You're looking inward. You're doing the audit. You're doing the checklist. You're seeing what it is you do need to do and you do not need to do to become more in alignment with that vision that Father has of his own Son, because the Son is the expressed image of his brightness. So there are those who will be called and shaken to be called into action, and those who will not be called into action. But can we not now see through all of the things that we've learned that all of us have a piece of it right, pieces correct? And many of us have pieces that are not correct. All of us have pieces that are not correct. And the reason that the Father allows for the forgetfulness is so that we can see at this point in time, at the place that we are right now, that we need each other. The Hebrews need the Protestants, and the Catholics need the Protestants, and the Protestants need the Catholics, and we need the Hebrews. We all need each other. We're one big family. We need each other. We all have clues. We all have clues. We all have information. Now, we know that we're not supposed to be worshiping a hunk of bread marching through the streets. That's just ridiculous to do that. But we also know that the Catholic Church has held on to, whether it's hoarding or whether it's protecting or whether it's guarding or whether it's stealing away for our eyes not to see, it doesn't matter the motivation. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And in this regard, by them hiding them away, they could not be They couldn't be changed. They couldn't be altered. They couldn't otherwise be twisted, so that when they come out into the light, we can all say together, no matter whether you're Jew, whether you're Greek, whether matter you're male, female, Gentile, all this doesn't matter. We all get to learn this together is what the guardians are saying. More will be revealed. But what is being revealed now is that we are all in error. We are. And, I mean, we're all in error together. But the difference is, well, Leander Grace, how do we get out of error? Well, how do we do that? How do the ancestors do that? Those who are called to put away the things that are necessary for the worship of God, put away the things that are not necessary for the worship of God. Keep the difference between the profane and the holy. And during this time of the dedication of the temple and Hanukkah, which is dedication, we dedicate our own temples, our own personal spaces, as the Word of Truth says. God knows all of his spaces. It's not just the spaces and the time spaces and the spaces in between spaces and the hyperspaces and the spaces outside of what we know is the established parameters of Earth as we know it, not outer space. He knows his vessels. He knows the spaces in our vessels, and he knows what the spaces need to be filled. And when we read the Gospel of Truth or the Word of Truth last week, we saw that we don't pour out. We empty as we add ointment or give ointment to others, or we use up our oil and we don't add up. But the only one who has the ability to fill us up is the Father through his Holy Spirit. That's what we learned. I cannot pour out myself into you. Can't do it. You know, a marriage bond, that's a little bit different, and that's for a wholly different, completely different topic and different level of a teaching. But for us and one another, I can't pour my spirit into you, or I can't put the level of grace that I've given and pass it to you. It looks good for an elf to do it, you know, for Lord of the Rings, but we can't do that. I can't pour out an anointing of Holy Spirit upon you. That is for the Father to do alone. And we know that the Father has expressed himself on earth through the expressed image of his brightness, and his name is the Son. We call him Yeshua HaMashiach Nagi. He is the expressed image of his brightness. Now, there is also a before that. We'll get to that probably on the other side of the break, but we're not there yet. We're also going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about the aura, we're going to talk about our electromagnetic field, we're going to talk about the Merkaba, we're going to talk about being carried away in spirit, which is why the Father gave me that at the beginning of the program to express to you the experience of in spirit. Because as I reviewed these steps, I was again taken away into the place, and it's what do you see? And I couldn't see anything but a normal office space. And this particular space, I happened to remember that the people there love the Lord. So that was also a steady thing. That was a theme. Love the Lord. I did not see it present until the Father pointed it out to me. And he says, let me get the words exactly here. Let me go back to it. And he says, this is how I will overlook their ignorance. For those who are ignorant, indeed, the rebellious will be visited. And yes, despise error, but do not give it root. That comes from the guardians. Now, what does that mean? Understand that there's a lot of terminology. We say the root, the root, the root, the root, the root of David, the root of this. This has root. This doesn't have root. It dries up from the root. What does that root mean? What does the root mean? And I'm going to postulate to you that root has to do with our DNA programming. Our DNA programming. If we have a root, and things grow much faster. Error has no root. It does not have any place to grow. It's just out there, and it tries to plant itself, us, and by that way, try to hijack our coding and become part of the root, or at least have an error in the root. You see how this works. This is a multidimensional, kind of an etheric way, as well as a physical way to see it as well. the adversary in the physical realm, when we see the gangsters and the murderers and the liars and the rapists and the thieves and all of that, they operate the same way. But on the spiritual realm, that's how it's carried out as well, trying every way that it can to get its error into the middle of our root that the Father wants to see and work with through his Son. So don't let error take root. Don't let error have root in you. Don't let it sprout. We make errors. We do. Let's not compound it. Right? Let's not compound it. Let's reveal it and then deal with it inside. So in this regard, the Father wants us to remember that he will overlook error in ignorance. He overlooks the ignorant times. We are very ignorant right now. We're, you know, it's the place between, dare I say, Father, yes, okay, between Arab, between night and day. And it's not just the surface night and day, not just the surface dark to light, not just the surface understanding of it. And it was explained to me by a Bible scholar and one of my, what I consider a mentor, although I've never met him, and that is Dr. Chuck Bissler. And he explains it this way. You know, when you go into a new city and you look out, you can't really tell if it's dark, right? You're going to go check into a hotel room, for instance. You don't know what the city looks like, or you're out in the country road back in the back roads and it's a out yonder hotel or something that you got fortunate enough to find. You can't see around you at night. You can't distinguish what's out in the distance unless there is some form of lighting or illumination or whatever. But in the morning time, when the sun starts to make its radiance present, as it gets closer and closer to the area, well, then you start to be able to discern those things around you. You get to see that there's either a mountain range or there's not a mountain range. And as it gets lighter, your discernment becomes more acute. And you can see whether there's rocks there, whether it's trees, and or whether there's buildings. And what color the buildings are besides the shade of gray of night. So don't give it root. Don't, and I think this is also why we're told in Ephesians, you know, be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If the sun goes down upon your wrath, it could take root. I don't know. I'm just saying, thinking about it. Because when the sun comes up, we don't want that to be growing still, right? So we have our anger. We have all that stuff, all of the things that the challenges that I brought. The last episode, the challenges that I brought, sit with them. The Father wants you to do. See what the Father wants you to do. Now, understand that when we read some of these other manuscripts from the Nag Hammadi Library, we're going to find out who the Son is. Remember in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we also have Strong's 283, which is the Aleph and the Tav, which is the acting, the generating force, that thing that makes, it's like the word is spoken and then there's an action. It's almost like a thunder and a lightning. Oh, she said it. It's like the word speaks and the action's carried out. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We also know when John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God and the Word was God. And we can go on and we will read that here in a minute. But understand that word, scholars are coming to understand, is the Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. The very same Aleph and Tav that we see in the book of Revelation that says, I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. Aleph and Tav, that's the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's some dots for folks to connect and come to some conclusions about that. But understand that it was the Son. Oh, my goodness. Even then, listen close, even in the beginning, the Son was there. The Son was willed into existence by the Father. So the Father is much higher than the Son. And because of that, the Son could manifest as God, but could not be understood. The people did not know the Father. And so when Jesus manifested, when he came here and when he was born, it was to reveal the knowledge of the Father, and he carried all of it within except the perfection. The Father retained that perfection within himself. But when he was here, all of the essence, the whole totality, we're going to get to that word and explain that here in a minute, it was within Yeshua. And we saw the Spirit descending upon him as a dove. And then he immediately was out to be tempted. What made him different? The Father was internal, and everything was in the Father. That is a puzzle picture that is not easy to comprehend. So the Son is an emanation of the Father, and yet the Father poured himself into the Son. It's a picture, something to contemplate, something to think about. It's an amazing picture. It is a complete mystery and a wonderment. And the more time that we'll have on air, the more in-depth that we'll explain it. But the Father wants also remember that we are responsible for learning this. We're responsible for studying. You know, God will help you dig a hole, but not by sitting on a hoe, not by sitting on the shovel and wishing. It doesn't happen that way. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of this stuff in the Gospel of Truth. Now, in the Gospel of Truth, we're going to talk about Matthew also. We need to talk a little bit about that. We'll do that on the other side of the break. But in the Gospel of Truth, what I want us to do is I'm looking at a different copy of it. There's a couple of them in the Nag Hammadi Library. And the second one is translated by Harold Attridge and George McRae. That is a very comfortable translation. It has a very comfortable translation. It's easy to read. It uses the thought forms and the level of thinking that we're used to. And I would suggest that for minor reading. And then when you're in prayer, perhaps read the other one, but understand the error that is in that one is it says to not take error too seriously. The other one says to despise error. It seems as though they're opposing viewpoints. But if you despise a thing, you're not going to pay it any attention. If you don't pay any attention, then it's not going to take root. Case in point, and I hope the numbers are still right, but back in the day, we know that in the Hebrew culture, yes, I love my sister Judah, in the Hebrew culture, wine's used all the time, and yet drunkenness is frowned upon. Not that it doesn't occur, not that there's not a time and a place for it, but overall, drunkenness is frowned upon in public and all of that. And because it was also used to be in German European culture that the drinking was fine. Drunkenness was not laughed at like we do here in America on our sitcoms and on our programs. Somebody falls down drunk, we're like, yeah, have another one. And we laugh at it. We give it root. We give it attention. We give it charm. We give it understanding. We fail to despise it. And in this regard, the Father says, if we learn to despise those errors and not seek them in ourselves or seek approval for those errors, then it's not going to take root in us. We don't give it space. Just like we're not going to give the deep state space, we're not going to give error space. And say, well, Leandro Grace, what does that look like? Everybody's going to walk around in black and white ties and all this and walk real stiff? No. Have a party. Absolutely. But understand who it is that gives us the ability to even express and to experience the joy that we have when we're experiencing joy. So I wanted to bring that. The Father said, let them know the forgetfulness is a gift. The overlooking is a gift. The forgetfulness can lead us into error, but understand when we remember the Father, then all of the error comes out and we get to learn from that too. Case in point, we're going to talk about this just before we go to break. We know we've been taught for a very long time that we're in the middle of a solar system hurling through space in a corkscrew fashion, and everybody and everything that's a planet is orbiting around us, and we're hurling through the universe as we do all of this Mario dancing, and that's not true. It's not true. The Earth is exactly as described in the scriptures. We have not been given an opportunity to observe it with our human eyes, but there are those who are very wise and very smart and very curious and very genius, very creative, and they have been able to figure out the earth is flat, just like the scriptures say. And so I want to say this about that. Do you remember back in school when we were learning how to laugh at the church, mainly the Catholic Church, for calling heretics those who were teaching the geocentric or the flat earth or anything else that we used to know, because something happened that brought on forgetfulness. We know that. Some of our history we don't know. A lot of our science we don't know. So remember, it was the Catholic Church. I'm going to call it that. I don't know if it was Vatican yet, but it was the Catholic Church. He said, no, you can't teach that. That's radical. That's not even true. And then there was an argument. And the Catholic Church was put to shame. And all the Protestants, I'm airing it, all the Protestants were kind of giggling because the Catholic Church was put to shame and they didn't like them anyway. Do you see how the Father uses our own air and our own arrogance and our own egotistical bent so that we can rub on each other? And eventually when we get here, all we have to do is hold up the mirror and we can see, hopefully, this is what this gospel of truth, this word of truth is saying, is that hopefully we can see ourselves in each other, whether it is the goodness or whether it is the forgetfulness that leads to error. And then we can see that we all have an area of error, no matter what part of the congregation that you call yourself. The ecclesia is the ecclesia. We some got of it wrong. This building over here is doing this. They shouldn't be doing that, but they got all that right. This building over here is doing that. They got all that right. What the heck is that over there? And this building over here, and this is how we do it. Understand that the buildings are nothing but buildings with lawns. The people are those who are the worshiper. And when the Father brings judgment, he brings it on those who mislead people, which is why if you're a teacher, you are held to a higher standard. If I mislead you all in any way that separates you from the love of the Father, it's on me. And so that burden is always in the forefront of my mind. It's about knowing the Father through his Son and what he did for us on Calvary that allowed us to be grafted back in to the unity of his family. And we can get some of the rough parts out, but understand it's our heart he's looking at. Is he looking at the Christmas tree? If you got it up there in rebellion, yeah. Understand that. So he's going to be looking at our hearts. He's not going to be looking at the living rooms. He's not going to be looking at all that. But I would be remiss if I did not, and I would be held into high account if I did not share that information with you. There's a great disturbance among the dishes, and there should be a great disturbance among the dishes. We should be very disturbed that we got stuff wrong. Now what do we do? Well, pray to the Father, show us how to get it right. And not dig our heels in and say, well, I don't care what God wants. I want to do it this way. I've always done it this way. I'm going to do it this way. Well, okay, that's up with you. That's between you and the Father. My job is to inform you. And every once in a while, stir it up. Bring discomfort. Because sometimes we get real comfortable. The Holy Spirit says, stir them up. Get them uncomfortable. Get them burning. Get them looking. Get them checking. Get them auditing. Get them looking inside. Get them getting ready. Let them know that we are all in error. And the Father loves us still. We're all messing up. There's none righteous, no, not one. But we are doing what we know to do to praise the Father. If we're moved to pull something out, pull it out. If you're not moved to pull something out, don't pull it out. But the very fact that my words caused a great disturbance among the dishes is a good thing. It means that you're paying attention. It means that you care. It means that you care what things look like. It cares whether you have the approval of the Father. Not the approval of Leanna Grace. My approval is neither here nor is it there. It has no weight in this formula whatsoever. what matters is your relationship with the Father through the Son. Start talking to the Father. In Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach Nagid, absolutely. But the Father's waiting for your call. He wants to hear from you directly. And now that you know, once you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit talking all the time, telling the Father your heart, telling the Father what you need. And when the Father says, okay, Spirit, move that person and do that, then the person becomes obedient because he recognizes the Father's voice, and the person becomes obedient, and one step becomes another step and another step. Does the obedient servant know the end result? No. And this is what the Book of Truth is telling us. This is what this whole gospel is telling us, is that the Father is going to move. He knows what's going to happen at the end result. He knows. And he's going to move that servant into this little thing. He's going to step. Obedience of the servant. Obedience of the servant. Because when the servant's obedient, he gets them to hear, boom, fruit. And that's how the Father works. And you could grumble the whole time he's getting you from point A to point B to point C to point D. It's okay as long as you keep moving. Remember what the scriptures tell us is that, you know, which is worse, the son who says, yeah, I'll do it, and then he doesn't. And the one that says, I don't think I want to, and then goes ahead and does it. So, yeah, the Father knows you're going to grumble a little bit because you don't understand. You do not see the end result like he sees the end result. We have been fooled and lied to by so many people for so long in so many ways. The Father knows this. He says, keep talking. He's listening. Keep listening because he's talking. The whole ethers are getting hot. And in a good way. In a good way. Now, that doesn't mean that the wicked's not going to come with some heat that's not in a good way. They're going to get darned uncomfortable real darned quick, and we're going to see that. We're going to see that. The Father's going to show us his mighty works. We just need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, where we're supposed to be doing it, when we're supposed to be doing it. Now, when we come back from the break, I've talked all about this etheric stuff and all of this and all of that. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about some of these visions, and a lot of prophets are having visions, and some of them are being swept away in the spirit, and people are doubting their claims. They're doubting that prophets of today are able to be taken up to this place or that place or the other place and have a conversation or be shown a vision. And I'm telling you, it happens. It does occur. And for you of little faith that are unwilling to listen to someone who had an experience just because you didn't have an experience, well, you know, the Father sees that too. He sees the heels in the ground. But these prophets that are servants of God, I do not have the office of a prophet, although I have the gift. That is not my office. The prophets that are speaking now are telling you what they're seeing, and they're seeing what the Father is revealing to them through the Holy Spirit, whether they're being taken away up in spirit or whether they're being shown visions. If I were you, if I were in your shoes, I'd listen. I know I do. And those who know the Father's voice and knows when the words come from the Father through the Holy Spirit, we listen. We listen. So the voices are being heard. The words are being heard that are coming through the voices. And I think that's the proper way to say it, because we are vessels, are we not? And as we do this spiritual work, we do empty out our vessels. Because we're emptying out our vessels. We don't pour out the Spirit on somebody else, but we do empty our gift out for the service of God. Do we not? For the service of Jesus, for the service of the Father. And then the Father in return then fills us back up with the pure oil when he's ready for us to do the next little step on our journey, whatever that is. So we're going to be talking about out-of-body stuff. We're going to be talking about light-body stuff, merkabahs, and things of that. We're just going to touch on it briefly. We're not going to go into depth because everyone that's listened to the broadcast is an adult and is able to research these things on your own. And understand, if you pray about this before you move forward, the Father will show you. The Holy Spirit will guide you in your search for the answers on this. So this is the time of revealing some of the stuff that's been hidden in the dark. Some of the stuff's hidden in plain sight. A lot of things are being revealed. All of our histories are being revealed that we've got that wrong. The corruption that is around us is being revealed. The fact that we've had that wrong. The corruption within us, some of the mistakes that we made, some of the emotional growth that we've need to do over the last little while, pick a week, pick a day, pick a year, pick a month. Every vessel is different, and every vessel requires, has different spaces, and every vessel requires a different filling, but from the same source, the same spirit, different gifts, the same spirit. Do you understand this language? I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's a time of revealing things, so we're going to go ahead and sing about the Revelation song. We're waiting for the Advent. Some are celebrating the birth. I'm waiting for the return. We'll see how that turns out. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back on the other side. This is Phillips, Craig, and Dean, Revelation song. We'll be back.
Sing a new song.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, welcome back to the Empathic Channel. I am your host, Leander Grace, and no, our silence will not protect you, and my silence will not protect you, nor will it keep you informed to help you make some good decisions. Just pointing in the direction. I cannot explain it all to you, because getting to know the Father is an inside job. The more you seek Him, the more of Himself He will reveal to you. That's the formula that He gave us over and over. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the Father. You know, and I think it's interesting to note that David was the psalmist who wrote about God as the Father and all of these things, and he was, but God said He would be a father unto him in the scriptures. It's amazing, that mystery. Then when Jesus was walking among us, and He quoted David as praising the Lord, that was on the whole interaction in that scripture we might want to take a look at. But before we do, we're not going to take a look at that tonight. I do want to take a look at, and this is the dig here first before we get into some more of the meat, and it's going to be real kind of cool the way we explain this Merkabah thing. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and give a little dig here, all right, to my audience. I want to just go ahead and give my listeners a little bit of a dig here. Now, I've talked before about every once in a while I'm going to throw out some scriptures to dig here and dig here on this topic and take a look at it. And one of them was in Matthew 24, verses 40 to 42. And the other one is Luke 17, verses 34 to 37. And if you haven't looked at it, I want to go ahead and take a look at it quickly and just point something out for you guys to draw your own conclusions on this. I am going to add my opinion, but you guys can draw your own conclusions about this. Now, this is the part where it says one's taken and one's left, right? Now, that's kind of a common verse for those of you who know the scriptures. You know, two men are sitting on a couch, one's taken, one's left, two women at the mill, one's taken, one's left. All right. So we're going to find that in Matthew and in Luke, both. And so let's go to Matthew 24. There's a lot more to look at in Matthew 24 as well, but we're going to take a look at this very quickly. And in Matthew 24, verse 40, he explains just before that, he says, you know, a lot of people, all of the things are going to happen, and then a lot of people are going to say this, but I want to take a look at this here. And then we're going to go back and do an explanation, but I want to point this out. In Matthew 24:40, it says, Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Again in 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. So if we look at the concordant literal version, and this is important because this is the correct translation from the Greek. In verse 40, it says, then two shall be in the field, one is taken along and one left. In verse 41, it says, two grinding at the millstone, one is taken along, one is taken along, and one is left. When we look over into the Greek, I'm going to use the word heis, because the word heis, H-E-I-S, is not the word hot in German. It's the Greek word, and I may not even be saying it right, but it's heis for one. And what it says is heis is to be taken along, and heis is being left. Same word. Again, in verse 41, it says, you know, Mia, meaning girls instead of boys, right? The other one was heis, was boys. This is Mia is being taken along, and Mia, those are the women. Now let's go to Luke 10 and verse 40. Luke 10 and 40. And nope, that's not correct. Luke 17:34. I've got a couple of scriptures up here. So Luke 17:34, it says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and the one, and we know that's a couch, and the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men, it goes on for a third instance in Luke, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. It doesn't sound like there's very much difference. In the concordant literal version, verse 36 isn't there. So let's take a look at it over in the Greek. What it says in the concordant literal version, it says, I'm saying to you, in this night there will be two on one couch. The one shall be taken along and the other shall be left. The two shall be grinding in the same place. The one shall be taken along, yet the other shall be left. Now, I want to draw some attention to the Greek, because it's not the same as it is over in Matthew. Because rather than using the word mia and mia, or heis and heis, it's completely different thought. It's a completely different word. And what it translates into is that the one is mia, which is a female, and the other one is hetera. Hetera, meaning a different one. So the way that it would read in a translation would be, the one woman is taken along and the different one is being left. And then in the next line, in verse 17:36, it says, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken along, the eis, meaning one person, it's a human, and the heteros, the different, shall be pardoned. That's different. We might want to take a look at these verses and see if there's something worth digging here. So that is in Matthew 24, 40 and 41. And that again is in Luke 17, 34 to 36. Let me get you a drink. So that's an interesting dig here thing. I just thought now it seems as though we have some mRNA. There might be a different one. Do we have alien invaders? There might be a different one. Do we have clones that aren't even human going on around? I don't know. It might be the different one. Who is to say? I leave that up to you for some digging and figuring and all of the rest of that. So I do have someone in the queue, area code 914. If you want to go ahead and talk and call in and all that, feel free. Put the number one on the dial at this time, and I'll be able to take your call. But until then, let me go ahead and continue on topic. The Merkabah. Now, we know throughout scriptures there's been more than one occasion where the Merkabah came in and someone was taken up. What is this Merkabah? What is this thing? What is the stuff that people are talking about that is so fantastic that nobody really wants to believe it? It sounds like a hoodoo, judo, voodoo thing going on, but it's completely real. There has to be a way for God to be able to take John, who is the island of Patmos, up in the spirit. He had to be transported. There's several occasions where one person is transported to another location. I remember Paul, he was in prison, and all of a sudden somebody's transported to give him some food and transported back. So we have these things occurring. We have transport mechanism. Is it mechanical? I don't think so. God has it. Own one. Maybe there'll come a day when I can personally own one. That day is not today. However, we do know. Well, maybe it is today, but we do know that there are spiritual vehicles that the Father provides to take us either in physical form, which has happened in the scriptures more than one occasion, or in spirit, which has happened in the scriptures on more than one occasion. And these things are occurring even now, today. And we touched on another topic when we were talking about the oil rising and the pathways and our body as an antenna and all of those yummy things that are true. And when we were talking about how, you know, the communication is a quantum communication and the reception is a quantum reception, why would the Father not be able to do this very same thing? Remember, we were told about chariots of fire. Well, where'd the fire come from? Up in the sky. We were told about all of these things. How does that happen? And is that just something for the old day, or does God still work in miracles and doing that now? I'd say no, he does that now. If we're going to be taken up, how will we be taken up? What would that look like? Just in a spiritual form, or is it in a physical form? And what would that look like? And are we prepared? And do we have oil in our lamps? Are we prepared? We're celebrating the birth of Yeshua, whether it's on the right day or the wrong day, whether left day or center day, doesn't matter. All of our denominations and all of those who love the Lord have pieces of the puzzle to put together to understand all of this. The Father says we're one family, one fold, and one faith. Unity and apostasy is still apostasy, so those things that we know that are not of God cannot be of God, not the confusion points, not the ignorant points. Then we need to get them out the way. Why we wanted to hang on to them for so long. This is just the learning that we have. That's all. We come to the point where we understand that the only reason we have anything that we have is because God said. And it's not because we did well or that we did poor. We got it because God said. We're told that our salvation we can't work for. We got that through grace because God said. There isn't anything that we can do to earn our way into heaven. It is through faith in Yeshua, through the promise of the Father, our faith in Yeshua. He stands in the middle and God sees his son. When Jesus turns around and looks at us, what does he see? According to the gospel of truth, according to the word of truth that we've just been going over, what the son expects to see is he sees us in him. And he sees him in us. We should reflect one another. Another mirror that I hold up the other day was all the ugliness that we got in the middle of it. And it caused confusion. And it caused a great disturbance among the dishes. And it should cause a great disturbance among the dishes. It is the great disturbance among the dishes that causes us to require our own selves, to desire for our own selves more oil, more fire, more heat, more knowledge, more alignment with the Father. If you know you're going to crash, don't you want to turn right or left? If you know that there's a wall to the right or the left, don't you want to keep going forward? These are the instructions that we get from the Father. Hey, don't worry about that off-ramp. That's okay. That's just a distraction. Yeah, we'll take care of that off-ramp later. Just do this, do this, do this. You say, well, Leanna Grace, you brought this thing up, but now it's in the middle of our face, and now we have to deal with it. And the Father says, yes, that is exactly the whole point. It's brought up in our face. Now we have to deal with it. And the Father sees what we're made of as we deal with it. This is part of the pressing. This is part of getting the impurities out. This is part of reaching that pure oil of worship, that pure oil of burning with Holy Spirit, getting all the rest out. What that looks like is between you and the Father. At the beginning of the program, I shared with you the vision that the Father shared with me. He says, look up, what do you see? And then I saw the tree. In this way, he will ignore, he will overlook the ignorance. But those who are required, and that's between you and the Father. And just as those within any of the faiths, those things which are not of God that are within any of the faiths will be revealed and they'll be taken out and they'll be actually not even removed. They will be given up. The Father shows me that people will just start giving up those things because they're going to understand all of the blessings that the Father has. The whole point of this is not so, what do the scriptures tell us? The scriptures tell us that there will come a day when we won't have to go to one another and to find out what it is that the Father says or what it is that there is to teach, that we will know what it is because he'll write it in our hearts. How does it write it? How does it get written in our hearts? How does it get written in our inward parts? It becomes part of our root. It becomes part of our root by giving it our attention. The same way that we negate error by not giving it attention and despising it, we make the truth part of our very root. Let me go ahead and clear my throat. We make the truth part of our root by repeating it, by making it part of our person, making it part of our very DNA. And I'm going to tell you that the truth is part of our DNA. If you are called by God and if you hear his voice, the truth is part of your DNA. That's why you recognize it. We got to get the noise out. We got to get the distractions aside. And then we can look at one another, whether you're Jew or Gentile or Catholic or Protestant or hula-gula of, I don't know, I was going to make a bichikapula. There was a whole big of the word I was going to say that didn't make sense. It doesn't, those things, those little differences don't matter. At our differences and those things that we think are shortcomings, understand that for every shortcoming that we see in someone else, it's just a reflection, of course, but also understand that it was that part that we didn't want to look at, those things about the Catholicism-ness, all of that, that the Protestants don't want to look at. It was the very thing that the Father could use to keep the Protestants away from some of the things that the Catholics knew deeply, whether they was part of the regular attendance of the congregation or those who were higher up. It kept the Protestants away so they could wrestle with their own mess. Because what do the Protestants do? They ran away and forgot their root. And everybody started doing what was right in their own eyes. And now here we are on this continent doing what's right in our own eyes. And we're going to need to look back to, what are you talking about, Leanna Grace? Yeah, we're going to need to look back to see where we where the church messed up, because we know it started good. And where Protestantism got arrogant, because that's what the Northern Kingdom does. Yeah, the 10 toes, well, we got two churches, left and right leg, and there's a parallel there. It's not the beast, but there's a parallel there. Then we got 10 toes, and so we got all these 10 churches branching out. Oh, yeah, there's a parallel there. So it's for us to see us for who we are, the way we are, and understand that we've all got something to give and contribute, and we've all got something that we're probably going to want to give up. We're going to want to. It's not going to be ripped out of our hands, but we're going to want to. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. I didn't get to everything I wanted to get to on the broadcast, which is usually the way that is. But I do urge my listeners to go through and go over Matthew 24 and 25 and do a little, you know, increase intensity in your study in that area and find out what the Father reveals to you in that. It's been my absolute honor and joy to bring you the broadcast this evening, and I hope this was a little soothing balm for the dishes, helping a little calm down some of the shaking that's going on, but it was good for us. Good for us to know that we need to be filled up by the Father and be shown more things. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I do plan, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, to be back on Wednesday night with Holistic Truth, going to talk about some good things. The Merkabah, it's a thing. We need to study that, find more out about it. Until next time, I am reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.